Thanks, guys. Thank you, fans. You're the only ones I've got. If you see me at faith camp, say hi. You're doing great. Because lots of people go to camp that don't like me because I've upset them over the years, and so I'm not enjoying camp so much. So you guys say hi, Pastor Dave. You're doing great, and then I'll know where you're from, and I'll say something nice to you. Because I say something horrid to the ones that don't like me, but I won't. You won't see that because I love you guys. You're amazing. I hit 50 this year, so I can have a saga holiday. Not on your life. And it's really good being with you, and I mean that, the praise and that worship, meeting with God. And again, just really want to thank you as a church and Pastor Judith and Andrea for helping us through in the last year what was a particularly tough time for us. If you're going to be a man or woman of faith, you're going to hit opposition. And even from religious-y type, people who don't like faith, basically. So if you're going to go for it in God, you're not going for the popular walk, and you're not going to be liked by everybody. But that doesn't matter. What's important to us is that when we stand before God one day, he says, well done, you. Well done, church. Well done, good and faithful. And as churches, we carry the same spirit of faith. And Pastor Judith has really helped us through what was really, really difficult time. Nothing she said, but I just want to thank her publicly in front of her congregation, if you like, because it got us through the sort of lowest black time, but through to a place of victory again, and where we're going forward from strength to strength. So God is good, amen? Hallelujah. Come on. Yeah. So I've got something good for you today, because God's never got anything bad for you. And it's going to take 35 minutes. You'd only get bored and fed up after that. And in our church, we're kind of like, we're trying to cut things down to about 35 minutes for the word because, then the children's workers don't get suicidal. So we don't have any prayer requests. Please save me from suicide, because you've done an hour and a half this morning and the kids have really been wrecking my life. So it's really great. The suicide rate's down in our church. The children's workers are so happy just because we've cut back a little bit there. So isn't that good? And I hope that the suicide rate here is non-existent as well. And I'm really excited about your offering this morning. Because when we give into offerings, it says the devil is defeated. It says God's kingdom will prevail. It says God's kingdom will advance. And I know you got like one offering this morning, but I was saying to Pastor Judith the other day, it's progression. We're here for the long term. And this is another step this morning. That's a powerful step. And when people come in here and look around, they see testimony of what God has done, but of people who believe in what God is doing. And there are many people falling away in these days and just settling out and copping out for not status quo, the group, but status quo, average, kind of general plod along Christianity. And that's not the Christianity God's got for us. It's overcoming faith, it's victory and it's power and it's breakthrough. But the thing I want to talk about this morning is relational. Before anything else happens, when we come together, there's great strength on a Sunday. There's a tremendous strength in being together, encouraging one another's faith. We can all jump and dance and be strong together. But it's when you're on your own at home that you will struggle. Or it's when the enemy comes along and you... husband or wife is at work, or you feel vulnerable, or some bills come and you can't pay, or someone's and negative letters come, or something's happening against you, where you really need to have three keys that will be things you know this morning, but I hope will really help you, because they've helped me. When I'm in a conference, depending on who's taking it, I'm generally okay. I've been to some conferences that depress me, but there are others that I really get encouraged in. I've been encouraged in the praise, but when I first get up in the morning, I'm not in a praise meeting at KFSW. I'm not at a conference where I'm being encouraged. I'm on my own, as Joan Armour Trading wrote, me, myself, I. Yeah? And she says, I sit here by myself and you know that I love it. And I say, I sit here by myself and you know I hate it. I would be a psychiatrist's dream to get into that spaghetti head of mine sometimes. And when you're dealing with faith, you're dealing with the spiritual realm. You're dealing with things that you can't always see. You're dealing with things that you're hoping for a land that you're entering into, but you're not necessarily always seeing it how you think you will. And so what I want to do this morning is just give you in the next half an hour three keys that are going to help you stand strong, so that when you're in your downtime, or when you're struggling and wish you were in a meeting surrounded by other people, but really it feels like quite a black day, but you can't come into church and say that because you feel that you're the only one struggling, which is a lie of the enemy. The Bible talks about a struggle against sin, for instance. It says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the shedding of blood. So there is a struggle for you to be the great people you want to be. And the devil hates you being the great people that you are. And he'll hate you getting all the way there. And he hates the offering this morning. And he hates everything. But we don't care what he hates, because we have keys in our lives that help us to stand strong in our 0 hours as well as our most celebratory times. Hallelujah. So I want to look at something Jesus did. Is that a good idea? We talk about Jesus this morning, because he's amazing. And he's the author and finisher of not just our faith as a community of people, but as our faith individually. And he knows you're wired differently probably to the person next to you. My wife and I are very differently wired. Praise God. She's a calming influence on me. But there's some things that we've got used to doing in church where we can come to church and trust that our leaders are on form for that day and receive. One of the things I was very surprised about, because I've got a very calm temperament, was when I went to the doctors a few years ago, he told me I had high blood pressure. How dare you tell me I've got high blood pressure? I'm very calm. And he used to put something called an Omron machine. It's basically, you take your blood pressure, shove it on my arm, and tell me that, just to prove that I've got high blood pressure. But I used to have to go to the doctors to see what my blood pressure is. But now, I went out about a year ago and I bought my own Omron machine. It's massive. It feels, no, it's not. It's in a little box. And I hardly ever use it because I'm calm now and my medication's working. But Marion calls them my de-stress tablets. They're not. They just control my blood pressure. But it means I don't have to depend on going to the doctors anymore to check my blood pressure. I can do it myself. Now, it's like that with faith here. Something God wants to give you this morning, because we get used to coming in to an environment where we can receive depending on how much our leaders are on form. But God wants to enable us to take some principles whereby when we come together, we are so on fire and have dealt with stuff that we can go forward further, because we're not spending our time here dealing with things under leadership that we can deal with under our own steam. And our leaders are always blessed when we do that. So I'm going to give you an Omron machine this morning. Amen. Three keys from John 20, which is amazing what Jesus did here. John 20 and verse 19. And it says, John 20 verse 19 says, on the evening of that first day of the week. Who loves the first day of the week? It's actually Sunday, but you know, Monday, I can be floating in ministry, seeing miracles and everything happen, but Monday, I don't feel like I'm floating in anything other than something I wish I wasn't there. Amen? You can relate to that. You know, you can be in the best charismatic meeting. You can have met with God and seen visions and have your whole life mapped out, but come Monday morning, I'm not speaking negative Mondays, I'm just being honest. Some people get up and say, good morning, God. Some say, good God, it's morning. Really, I fit the second category most of the time. Because my feelings are very strong. I'm quite an emotional person. I wear my heart on my shoulders and I live by the grace of God. So this isn't how I generally am. I have to fight to be here. Okay. Now, for those of you that don't, great. God bless you. I'm jealous of you. Go away. But some of us really do have to work through foundational principles to live in faith. The testing of our faith proves it's genuine. If you're from America, or genuine if you're from the UK. So our faith and what we believe and what we hear here is going to be tested in our outworking of our everyday situation. And sometimes we can separate off what's happening in our everyday life to what happens in our church life. So we come to church for this and we go to our witness groups or whatever they're called during the week. But somehow the things that are coming at us in our work situation or in our marriages or in our bringing up of our children or in our jobs somehow seem to be separated off, and we can be glad we're out of them to get a faith rush again. Now, I know that will be at different levels for different ones of us, but my wife's a school teacher, and I know what it is for her to work 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and deal with things that would kind of come against that faith that she has. We used to sing a great song, "This Faith That I Have, The World Didn't Give It To Me." I used to sing it with my tongue stuck out of the enemy. The world didn't give it, the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. But we have to stand in that. And what happens here in this story here, you have all these disciples, and they've been hanging around Jesus for 3 years. I mean, what a guy to hang around. And yet they locked themselves up in a room because somehow fear has come into their life. At that point, they're not remembering the church service. They're not remembering the prophetic word that they'd had. They're not remembering that encounter with God that they'd had. They're not remembering the sermon that was spoken on Sunday. They are locked up in fear in this room. Jesus, whom they loved, had been crucified. And on that evening where they'd locked themselves up for fear of the Jews or fear of being sacked or fear of not being able to pay the bills or fear of that doctor's diagnosis or fear of that stuff that my ministry isn't going to survive or fear that we're going to go under or fear that I'm going to die early. Through fear, we lock ourselves up. And I love it because when we lock ourselves up, Jesus doesn't even bother unlocking the door. He walks straight through the door into that room and he deals with it. And I love it. It says, and they were filled with joy. Well, they'd be pretty stupid not to be. I mean, Jesus has just walked through. Hallelujah. He didn't even need to unlock that door because he is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so Jesus comes in, and the thing that had been bothering them kind of in their hearts, the thing that kind of like at work had happened, the diagnosis or the news that this, that and the other is happening, the things they were seeing around them and what the government was saying and doing or the religious order of the day, Jesus comes in and he has only one solution to it. He says, "Peace be with you." He just speaks right through the turmoil and the trouble with three words or four words, "Peace be with you." Hallelujah. Amazing. Absolutely fantastic. Now I want us to really, because my heart for you guys this morning is that you can take away these three things and learn to operate this so you stay strong. Because the Bible says some people fall away. I've had so many disappointments in my life where people that have said they're with me and with the vision and with what God's doing. I mean, probably in ministry about 30 years now in one way or another. It's incredible, the most best intention of your heart, but they get pulled away because they don't have foundation in them to know integrity, character, how to stand strong. Because they're pulled around by situations and circumstances. They give up tithing or giving because something didn't quite work out the way that they should. Fear comes in and they lock themselves away from Jesus. And then they blame the pastor. And Jesus comes along and he breaks through that door or that barrier that those people that have been to that meeting, that those people who are facing this issue, and he says, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. When Jesus turns up in our lives, whatever's going on, whatever stage we're at, when he breaks through those doors of fear, the peace comes back. And when the peace comes back, the joy comes back. Because you can't be joyful when you're not at peace. Because when you're not at peace, you're not trusting the Lord. And again, this isn't just something we've got to do. We've got to trust the Lord. Right, now I'm even more depressed. Because if I'm not at peace, I'm obviously not trusting the Lord. And that makes me more miserable. Now I'm depressed even further. Because I know I should be somewhere where I'm not. It's not the way around it is. Jesus breaks through the whole door. They didn't even have to get up and open it. They didn't even knock on it. He walks in the room. Whatever the obstacles and barriers are in your life, fear, whatever, he just comes, he just walks, because he's won the victory on the cross, he just walks straight through it. For our church in Kenilworth and stuff that comes against us, stuff that will come against you, all these other things, we don't focus on it all the time, but when you're praying in a place of victory and when you're in a place of breakthrough, if you can be aware of these other issues, you can stay in breakthrough and victory and you can stay in peace. And peace is a very active thing. It's actually a very determined thing. It's a very face like flint thing. And it actually says to the enemy, you will not and you cannot rob me of that peace that God has given me through the precious price blood of Jesus who died on the cross to set me free. Your peace is an incredible, incredible gift from God. You will live longer if you stay at peace. Stress will kill you. Fear will kill you. Jesus knows that bodies, how and neurologically and all the rest of it, these things are not separated. It's not just a good idea for a Christian to know these things and think, well, I have peace. You can smoke a joint and have peace. We do that every Sunday morning, 10 till 11. Come on, that is a different sort of peace because it's not a lasting peace. That's just an out of it peace. But this peace is a powerful peace because it's a peace that will help you live longer. Fear will, if people can die of a broken heart, which they can, why do we take courage? Why is our hope in the Lord? Why does it say in the Bible, even to your old age and grey hair, I will sustain you, but if you do it my way? Praise God. So this peace is something that Jesus wants us to learn to take hold of every day. But you get it in the form of meeting with him, the Prince of Peace. It's relational because he is our peace. It's Jesus. You are my peace today. Now let me just string this together quickly because there's something very, very powerful I just want to let you guys have at the end of this. He says, peace be with you. And then he says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. In other words, I haven't given up on you. Your life's not so messed up. I'm sending you. Peace be with you. And Jesus gets straight on with the job. He gets a focus off of the fear. He gets a focus off of the failure, which obviously happened in Peter's and all his disciples who deserted him. He got their focus off of how they had let him down. He got their focus off of all of that. He said, peace be with you. He stood among them. When you get up in the morning, the first thing Jesus wants to do is stand among you. He wants to stand in you, through you. He wants to stand. Jesus is not laying down defeated. You may be laying down feeling defeated. You may go to sleep the most anointed feeling person with visions. And I don't know what happens while I'm asleep, but somehow something happens where I can wake up different to that. But Jesus says the first thing I want to do in your life every single day is to come and stand amongst you, Dave. I don't want you out of bed until you know. So when I wake up at 5:30, I say, well, Jesus, I'm not so sure you're standing amongst me. I'll stay in bed till 9:30 until I really know you are. No, I don't say that. First thing he wants to know there. And then he does another one on them. It says in 22, it says, and then he breathed on them. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, isn't that interesting how those two things are linked? Because you're not moving in grace and anointing and in the power of the Spirit if you're not at peace. If Jesus isn't standing in the center of everything and you don't have a revelation of that, you're not going to be moving in the power of the Spirit. You're going to be moving in the power of a different spirit. The spirit of fear, for instance. The spirit of worry. That's why the Bible says, do not worry. Worry is a very, very weak thing. And it does not have the power to change anything. Only faith does. Worry can't change anything. Only faith can. So here's how this strings together. You cannot be in faith if you're not at peace. Because peace is the presence of Jesus himself. And then Jesus comes along and he says, now you're at peace and you stop worrying, you've got your eyes off yourself and you stop beating yourself up over failing me. He says, I'm sending you. And he says, here's the deal. I'm not sending you to live the life I want you to live or build the church at Taunton or Kenilworth or be We're all aware of weaknesses in our lives, even sometimes how we talk to people, how we're getting ratty with stuff. All these little things in our lives, the way we can blow it on the road, all these things that can go in our life, just little things that nag away at us that we don't generally give too much attention to in a meeting, but they're things to drain our faith in our everyday life. Jesus says, now, peace be with you. Jesus is with you. And now I'm going to breathe the Holy Spirit on you, because my Spirit is going to empower you to live in that peace. My Spirit is going to enable you to break through every situation and circumstance. My Spirit is going to give you grace to deal with whatever the pressure is on your life. One practical thing, my wife being a teacher, she knows a class she's been given in September. And the reason she's been given it, they're the naughtiest kids in the school, but she's been given it because she's done so well at behavioural management. So it's a double-edged sword. God's graced her to be, and so in this last year, she's really transformed. God's used to transform the behaviour of one class of kids. Now they're giving her the worst ones because she knows she's anointed to help. So she's got like, oh, why did I bother? And I said, mate, because I call her mate, I say, don't worry about what's going to happen in September. There'll be grace for September when we get to September. But today is today, and God will grace you today. But you don't feel you've got the energy to take on another class, because today you don't have to take that on. In September you will. But today you have grace and peace and joy for today. It doesn't really matter to me what's going to happen tomorrow morning. There'll be grace for that when I get to it. What matters to me is that today I'm in peace and I can enjoy my life today because I'm at peace. Because I have the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I'm so concerned even about the kingdom of God. Will revival come, or is it reformation? It begins with R, whatever it is. It's going to be really good. It's going to be a rave. I'm believing for a rave. Some are believing for a reformation, some revival. I'm believing for a rave in God. A right knees up. It'll begin with R. I don't know why. But I'm not there, but I am here. And while I'm here, I'm going to enjoy here. Because I'm tired of my life being robbed, looking so far ahead. I can't do anything about it anyway. I can't make revival or reformation come tomorrow, but I can enjoy today. And maybe if I'm enjoying that peace today, by the power of the Spirit Jesus has breathed on me, I'll be a better person to be around. And I got to a stage in my life and ministry where I thought, what is this? This is miserable. I was going to call our church, Church of the Misery on the Rock. It just felt like that. We had to force ourselves to sing happy songs. I had to force myself to like people. I hated them all. They knew it. And they probably hated me. Sunday was not looking bright. But that was after 30 years of rocks being thrown at me and horrid stuff happening. I had to come to a place of realizing there's grace for today. There's bright hope for tomorrow. But I'm not in tomorrow yet. I need grace for today. And I started loving, because I was enjoying the life God's given me. And I realized it was the enemy trying to put wrong pressures on. I could start ignoring that. I could have that Jesus walking through that door, and I could enjoy being saved again. Then I could enjoy others who were saved, and I could enjoy worship and prayer again. I was taking responsibility to meet with Jesus, and I could enjoy my life again. Because I figure I'm going to be doing this for the next 40 years. I'll be 90 then. I've got it because my pension's not very good. But, and then I'm going to go to heaven, and so are you. But why is it only 5% of people who ever start out in ministry finish in ministry? Why is it that so many Christians backslide and fall away? I remember when I was at Rothy, someone said to me, statistically, only X percent of you are going to finish the work God called you to. And everyone's doing a PR. Oh, not me, Lord. I'd never deny you all the rest of it. The number of people I've seen deny him. It's great talking to Debbie this morning. She said, it's so good looking around. So many of us are still here that were there in the Rothy days. Isn't that amazing? Come on. We're still here. I might have less hair. She might have grey hair. Irrelevant. I'm looking this way. I'm avoiding eye contact. Silver, thanks. Discretion will protect you. Anyway, we're going to talk about forgiveness in a minute. We are, because you have peace. And your husband's bigger than me. you have the Holy Spirit, and you can only have the Holy Spirit because you're at peace. Jesus gave the peace first. He didn't give the power and the breakthrough and us straining to see something. Everyone was praying in victory, defeating cancers and breaking, seeing demons cast out because they're at peace. Because they were standing in the one who is peace and in the one who is victory. But they had to receive the peace. He had to walk through the barrier. Your barriers will be different to mine, but Jesus needs to walk through them. The Holy Spirit comes, and I love this. Now, it seemed weird when I was reading this. I've read this scripture a lot of times, never jumped out at me. He says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he said this. I thought this should be in another part of John. He said, if you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. I thought, what a strange place to put that. Crazy place to put that, but it's not crazy. I'll tell you why it's not crazy. That's why I've come here today. No, I'm not going to tell you, actually, because I'm in a mean mood. I want you to work that one out for yourself. But I know the answer. So it's been great being with you again. And I'll see you soon. Now, the reason is this. The reason is, Jesus says, I want that peace to remain with you. He says, I've done my part. He says, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. I don't give in the way the world does, where it's dependent on situation and circumstance. You can draw on that peace anytime you like. You can live in that peace if you choose to. And this has been so powerful for my own health and my own faith. Because he then comes in and he says, if you forgive anyone what they've done, their sins are forgiven. Now, this does not mean if I sin against Pastor Judith in some way, and I say, God, please forgive that sin. He says, I'd love to, Dave, but I can't because Pastor Judith hasn't forgiven you. So I remain unforgiven. It doesn't mean that. This is important. It means I'm forgiven before God, but it means Pastor Judith is then holding on to something where she hasn't, because she's living in the consequence of the negativity of unforgiveness. I'm walking free in God. Because you always get some blighter that won't forgive you. But I should have done this the other way around. So my forgiveness before God can't be dependent on people not forgiving me. God's forgiven me. But what it means is the consequence I am free from of the negativity of that sin. And therefore I can be at peace. Now what this is saying to me is, it says, Dave, peace. Yes. The power of my spirit to live in that peace and overcome and see people saved and everything in the context of peace. Great. By the way, God says, but Dave, Jesus says, there's only one thing that's going to rob you and bring you back is if you don't let people go that have caused the blighters. You can call this sermon the blighters. The blighters who caused that peace to be robbed in the first place. He says they have no power over you. If you forgive them, if you forgive them, they have no power over you. It won't make them a better person necessarily. It won't make them right in any way necessarily. But Jesus says they cannot rob your peace if you forgive them. See, the things that have come against me and the ministry God's given me and the things like that, I've really struggled sometimes. You'll struggle sometimes when someone who's left the church in a negative way and you see them in the high street and it's awkward. What I do, because the fellowship's been broken. They've hurt you in some way. They've been negative or whatever it is. And I even have this in conferences I go to and it just seems so strange to me, these things that people get up to. But Jesus says it doesn't need to seem strange to you. Don't let them and what they've done, let your peace be robbed, your anointing be robbed, the power of the Holy Spirit in you be robbed. You just forgive them. Then forgiveness isn't all kind of like, here comes a fluffy one. You know, little pink kittens on fluffy clouds sort of thing, you know. If you ever used to watch Corey on the house, it's a privilege of having children. I can watch all the children's programs. There's a little song called Little Pink Kittens on Fluffy Clouds. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is a kick in the teeth to the enemy because the enemy doesn't know how to forgive. And the works he does through people, the devil will only accuse. God says, your peace will return and the power of the Spirit will operate through you. And the only way that can be robbed is if you refuse to forgive. And I can give very powerful testimony of how that's worked in my own life, even people in the town, our town and stuff like that. And I went through a phase where I just didn't want to see anyone. I was so hurt and beaten up. And, you know, I was all right at first, but after a few years of it, you know, you can get bashed around the head with a mallet once and it hurts. But, you know, year in, year out, and your faith can get knocked and all the rest of it. And I was at a conference and this guy said, he gave a word to me. You know, when you go forward for a prophecy and you all hope you get a better one than the other person in the line, and you're looking around, but you're trying to look all humble and that. Oh, yes, that was better than yours. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's all going on. You know, it's like when you sit in the front row, you know, at these big conferences and you're looking around, you know, trying to look humble, but, you know, I've got a soft seat, you haven't. Pray, I'm glad you've all got the same seats in this place. Do you know what I mean? There's all those little things that kick off. Maybe it's just me that thinks that, but it's kind of like, you know, I'm at the front here, guys. Woohoo! I've made it. And God says, you idiot. Anyway. Jesus has a right laugh at you. It's hilarious, isn't it? You know, Christian etiquette. Oh, please. My tent's bigger than yours. Hallelujah. Well, my fish sticker outsize is yours anytime. Well, let's do away with the dive bombing pigeons. But Jesus comes along and he says, not like this, not like that, just like this, forgive. And forgiveness brings freedom and joy, but it keeps you in the peace. Do they deserve to be forgiven? Of course they don't. Do I deserve to be forgiven? Of course I don't. But that's the grace of Jesus on my life. Should they have hurt you? No. Did it break your heart? Sometimes, yes. Did it almost cripple you sometimes? Yes. And the devil says, I want to use that to stop you going forward as an army of people and pick you off one by one by one by one. And you say, no, I forgive. And always do it with a smile on your face. And get your lips a little bit like that. And you forgive. It's powerful. It's a weapon. It's a tool. When I hear people say, I will never forgive them, I think, you, something I won't say down the microphone. Honestly, I just say, you are putting yourself in bondage. You are double hurting because the thing the person did is the first dose of hurt. And now you're hurting yourself because you're allowing the devil to come in and cause a grip in your life to stop you walking in freedom. Forgiveness deals with it there and then. And that's the power and the message of the cross. And we want to receive all the forgiveness from God, all the grace of God when we mess up. And Jesus comes along and he says, I want you to learn to operate in that same measure and that same level. It keeps you free. So here we have the three things. The peace. Jesus breaks through every single door that we put up, where we hide because we got trapped in that sin, because we keep doing the same thing and we're ashamed to talk to anyone or get help from a brother or sister in church. The thing that the way hurts come against us and all the rest of it. And Jesus breaks through that and he presents himself and he stands amongst you this morning and amongst you every day of your life. But sometimes we don't see him if we don't look to him, because we're looking at the hurt and we're looking at the other stuff. We're looking at that and Jesus says, I'm here. Will you recognize me? And when you recognize him, you get overjoyed again and the peace comes back. Hallelujah. He's always there. It's just whether you're going to see him or not. Hallelujah. Then he says, here's the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to help you get through this one. I'm going to help you live in the life that I've given you. And then he says, now we've dealt with all that and you're tidied up and you're happy again. By the way, forgive instantly and forgive quickly. Deal with it. Get it out of the way. The Bible says forgive whatever grievances you may have. Because he knows we'll always be having to do that. He knows it's a key weapon from the enemy. Hallelujah. In John 14:27, I just want to finish with this and then just pray quickly if we can. Because that's basically the heart of the message. But John 14:27. Here and God comes in and he says, Jesus comes and he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. Now it says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Now the second word there is very important. It's the word let. First word is important, don't. Those two words, don't let, that says you have to. That's not something that can happen in the service. That's not something that can happen when we're all together. We should already be past that point. It says you don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be robbed of your destiny, because When you die and you have your gravestone and it's 1964 to whatever time you die, there's a little dash in between, and that dash represents your life, and you're either going to let things happen in that life or you're not going to let them. And there's some things the Bible says don't let, and the Bible says don't let your heart be troubled. Now that's a gift from God, because God would not tell you not to let something happen unless he gave you the power and the anointing and breathed on you the Holy Spirit to enable you to live in the good of that. Otherwise he'd be a cruel God, amen? And so he says, Dave, you have the power that when Saint Ignorance comes along, or saying ugly, or saying miserable to spoil your day, you have the power to not let your heart be troubled, because you can come to me. Now, we were ministering this on Friday night in our prayer meeting. I had people ministering to each other, praying, coming to a place of freedom, coming to a place of joy. And I got home and a situation kicked off that would want to seek to rob my peace straight away. And I reminded myself of what I'd just been doing. And so I said, right, God, this is simple. What was it I was saying? I said, God, break through that door of opposition that's coming against me to try and rob my peace and make me angry. And Jesus broke through the door. I recognized him. I saw him and I was overjoyed. And Jesus said, in this situation, look away from the situation. Peace is with you. Peace is in you. Peace be with you. That stopped in its tracks me having to work it out or get cross or allowing the devil to spoil the evening. Then Jesus says, now Dave, he actually calls me Pastor Dave, he doesn't. He said, whatever it was he said to me, handsome I think it was. He said, hey handsome. He says, now here's the Holy Spirit, and my Holy Spirit's going to show you, because it leads you into truth, how to handle that from a place of peace. And by the way, before you go and handle it, because you've got to handle it in love, forgive the perpetrator of that thing that sought to steal your peace. So I suddenly started to handle things. This is what I call spiritual anger management. I started to handle it from a godly perspective. Now this might not sound the most spiritual sermon, but it's huge to what you can walk in. There's no good rebuking the enemy, praying for healing from cancer and all the rest of it, if you can't overcome in the basic principles of faith. Because they'll cut in on you every time. Now, by God's grace, we're all learning, and sometimes you can be on your worst day and pray for a healing of cancer and they get healed straight away. Brilliant. That is the grace of God. But that's not an excuse not to walk in and live out these principles. I think I've done half an hour. The suicide rate's left. The children's work is going to be happy because it's going to be a great offering time in a minute. But even in our building and our going forward in faith and all the rest of it, I hope these three principles are helpful for you just to go and live this stuff out. If you can remember these things and start to just put those into practice, peace breaks through anything, even that which is locked up in our lives, hurts, resentments, things that have done things. This word this guy gave me, by the way, at this conference, said, Dave, I just see pictures of stones having been thrown at you, pain. This has gone on for years. Things thrown at you, rocks. And he says, and I see you dancing on them in the power of God, because those rocks have fallen away. You dance on them in a place of forgiveness and in a place of power. And then when I was sharing this at our church, a guy came up and visited the church and said, Dave, the word from the first guy, was I was dancing on cobbled stones, he said. And I just see you dancing. And I thought that meant on places unsmooth. But then this guy in our church came up and he said, no, those stones, I believe, are things people have thrown at you and fallen at your feet, and you're dancing over them. Because the actual guy who gave the prophetic word in the first place said, I don't know why it's cobbled stones, it just is. But God revealed the other part of the thing through somebody else. And so I've been dancing ever since. Now, I'm not a natural dancer. Hallelujah. I'm not a ballerina. I feel like a bit of a hippo when I jump around. But that doesn't matter. Every morning when I get into I've got this shed office in the garden. It's lovely. Overlooks the fields and the birds are singing. And, you know, there's people walking past with bluebirds on their shoulders singing zippity-doo down my window. There's all that stuff going on every single day. It's wonderful. One of them is the bluebirds on my shoulder. I get my gun out. Hallelujah. But there's all that kind of stuff, zippity-doo-dah. But I actually just dance before the Lord or jump for God. You are my freedom. God, I dance on cobbled stones. I dance on hurt and pain. I'm not living in that kind of feeling and that stuff and that pressure on me any longer. Hallelujah. It's powerful, powerful, powerful. I'm going to finish with this. I was in court in Exeter a couple of weeks ago. Praise God. I was being sued for doing 300 miles an hour. I was a defendant in a case, seriously. But it's from something that happened many, many years ago in my life. And they'd asked me to be a witness at this thing. It's interesting. I met some other people that similar things had happened to. And the police guy said to me, he said, Dave, it's interesting. He says, these guys' lives have been destroyed by what had happened to them. But I thought, I'm in freedom. It's gotten, that was the difference between me and everyone else. Same things happened to me or similar things. But listen, I'm in freedom. I have peace, forgiveness. And what was interesting was the barrister. I'm standing there. I felt like I was in a pulpit. I was ready to preach to the world. My barrister, or the prosecuting barrister's there. And then Dim Dum, the other one trying to prove me wrong, is up there. Dim Dum with the wig. His wig was twisted. I was trying not to laugh at him because he was questioning people. He was going, no. So I didn't know which way to face. So I was having a right laugh in my spirit. But anyway, Dim Dum wasn't very nice. But the nice one, he was saying this, that, and the other. Now, I hadn't asked him to say this. He says, and you want to know that you've forgiven that person. I thought, I didn't tell him that. I said, yeah, absolutely, he's forgiven. And that's why I'm free. Because I've forgiven. Stuff happened, and stuff happens to you. But I'm free because Jesus broke through the door that made me fearful and locked myself away from life. He knocked the door down and he says, I'm not leaving you there. I'm sending you. He says, and you don't even have to do it in your own strength, Dave. You don't even have to work it all out. I'm giving you the power of the Spirit to go and do it. And there's just a little checklist, you know, make sure you pack your toothbrush. Make sure you forgive. Yeah, don't go away and leave your toothbrush. You might look good, but your breath will stink. Amen. Don't go away in the power of my Spirit and doors broken down and all the rest of it, but stink because you don't forgive and then lose the joy and then you retract people. Amen. Here's the mouthwash. It's called forgiveness. Here's the Mentadent P. Here's the floss. Here's the cleansing. Here's the cavity filling thing, the thing that would cause pain and stuff and put you off from people and all the rest of it. Amen. Have you ever been prayed for in a ministry line? You fall over in the power of the smell as opposed to the power of the Spirit. It is not good. Hallelujah. You want to fall over in the power and the grace and the love of God. And I really hope that these things help you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to finish there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And can I just pray for you? Is it all right if I just, I'm just going to pray a general blanket thing, but just grace for you to go and do it. Let's stand, and then we're going to get to the real exciting time of doing the offering. Hallelujah. As a church, are going to be wanting to sow into this offering as well. I was aware that was happening. It's our joy to be able to just share and sow 30 pence in. I mean, sow something really great. We believe God's asking us to share with you guys. So praise the Lord for that. And something we just really want, are so grateful to you as a body of people, the faith that you have, the joy that you have, what you are representing here. Never take it for granted. It is powerful. The enemy is intimidated by these days. And if we do these things, it's just another kind of strengthening brick to help us stand strong, not get picked off along the way for an easier life. I mean, this is the best life, but it's not the easiest life. But, what a great life it is. And then the victory as we get into heaven one day is going to be absolutely glorious. I'm going to have a massive mansion in heaven. Come and visit me. I'm going to have a massive boat on the river of life. It's going to be fantastic. And all the people on little canoes that didn't get as far, I'm just going to make all the wash. Whoa, it's going to be great. And they're going to forgive me. Hallelujah. Isn't that going to be fantastic? I'm just going to enjoy heaven. We're going to have a laugh a day. Isn't that good? And there's no cyclists in heaven. Hallelujah. Let's move on quickly. Yes, I'm so full of joy. Praise the Lord. Father God, I just thank you that you are great. And Lord, it's easy to sound confident in a way and full of anointing in that when we're here. But we know the everyday life in between for all of us isn't always that. There's pain, there's other stuff. I thank you for joy and I thank you for freedom. Lord, I thank you any of us ever stand here because you're the great minister, God. And we've had to work through stuff where we can still remain standing and still keep going. I'm so grateful for that, God. No confidence in myself. As Paul said, no confidence in the flesh, but by your Spirit, God. But I pray this morning, Father God, for this wonderful people, wonderful, wonderful people, that you would just remind us every day when our eyes open, Jesus is standing there amongst us. We just need to recognize. When you come and stand amongst us, you're not very polite. You smash the doors down that the enemy's put up. Lord, I know there's a bit you stand at the door and knock, but not in this context. You don't even have to boot it down. You just walk straight through it because it's powerless. The works of the enemy that cause those doors are powerless in comparison to your great grace. And Lord, you come in and we start every day from this day on at peace. Because you give it to us. You are it. You mean it. However we want to translate that, basically we're full of it, full of that peace. And then, Father God, we don't have to mull over and concern ourselves with the stuff that others have done or said or whatever. Because we forgive and therefore stay at peace and stay in the empowering of the Spirit to live in that. So, Father God, please alert us to the subtle attack and stuff that wants to rob these things. Things that we don't think are that spiritual, but actually subtly are very powerful and would want to gnaw away. We give you all the glory, the honor, praise. Let's thank Jesus for this morning. He is awesome. Amen.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.